T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
You're listening to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show, episode 18. Hey there, Kate Hartley here, and welcome to another episode of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. This is the show where I interview guests whose stories will inspire you to take the steps you need to create the life you want and educate you with tips and strategies to help you overcome your roadblocks. My guests all have one thing in common, and that is the passion to consistently take action, to follow their dreams and achieve their goals in life. On this show, you also hear what's working and not working in people's lives, the challenges they face, and more importantly, how they overcome those challenges, using often their resourcefulness to get to where they want to be. So before I get into the details of my passionate guest today, remember that you will be able to listen to the replay of this interview on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk, and also on my website, which again is flourishtherapy.co.uk. And there's a tab on the main menu bar for the radio show. So back to today's episode. I can't wait to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Cindy Robinson-Sanders, and Cindy is an expansion coach, helping her clients expand their perceptions, beliefs, and understanding to manifest their best life dreams. Over the past 18 years, she has successfully helped women discover their long-term committed romantic partner, pursue their ideal livelihoods, and find clarity in understanding how their beliefs and actions create their reality. She is passionate about helping others to find their own smiles in life and lives by the ditty, "Turn your frown upside down." I am so looking forward to introducing Cindy to you. So without further ado, Cindy, welcome to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. How are you today?
I am thrilled to be here, Kate. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. And to get us started with the interview, I wonder if you'd share with us what got you started with where you're at now and, you know, what's your big why?
You know, I think my big why is that I love helping other people. And so as I started taking transformational courses, learning more about me, I didn't want to keep the lessons to myself. You know, I wanted to be able to share with others what I was learning and so they could either learn by osmosis, you know, being around me, or start taking action. And so well before I decided to become a coach where I would make revenue at it, I just began, I found a women's group to be part of and just began being around people that also wanted to better their lives, understand their relationships, and, you know, just have a thriving life rather than just a what they would consider a mundane life. Or just, you know, something that they weren't passionate about, that they were just going through the same everyday motions. You know, you see the cartoons or you see it in a movie where somebody is basically having a groundhog day. Their alarm goes off. They get up. They make the toast with butter on it. They have the coffee with 1.5 teaspoons of sugar. They dress in the same type of outfit and drive to work. They're there. They come home. They watch the news. They, you know, have dinner. They go to bed. I used to judge people. And then I used to envy people. You know, because when my life is really chaotic, I'm like, oh, geez, just could I just have a normal day? You know? And so I began realizing that living your best life dreams really is different for other for everyone. And because I've been involved in so many different volunteer groups, or I was in a youth group that we get together periodically, and I would see these women, and they had what was just kind of almost from back, Leave It to Beaver, you know, back, I don't know what a UK version of Leave It to Beaver might be, but, you know, just that kind of, you know, raise the kids, be yeah. in the PTA, and I never had children. I never had that aspect, and I didn't grow up knowing I wouldn't have any children, you know, so that I couldn't have that. I always was nomadic. I was nomadic as a child with my father's career, and I became nomadic later after I got out of college. And so, you know, I never set down roots to have the picket fence, three kids, and, you know, PTA meetings, and, yeah. you know, go to the church social, and whatever I was picturing, my life didn't look like that. So how could I thrive with the life that I had? What's interesting about it is when I went through my process, I was married once very briefly in the early 90s, and we'll talk a little bit later about the book that's actually yes. launching today that I'm part of. And yeah. I speak briefly. I am kind of excited about it, actually. I speak briefly to my first marriage, and then more about the process that I took in finding my second husband, which was really about understanding who I was and what I needed mm-hmm. in a partner, and knowing yourself more clearly. You know, women are so, we evolve so much more than men. You know, if you just think about two or three men in your life, and that you've known since they were late teens or early adults, mm-hmm. and now they're maybe a decade or so later, often they'll wear the same thing. My husband wears khaki pants. He's a little more variety, though, because he'll wear navy blue also, but he wears polo shirts. And some of the men, I had a long career in the tech field, and some of these guys would wear khaki color, you know, pants, chinos or you know, and yeah. they wear the golf shirts, the polo yeah. shirts. But some men would wear the same color every day, and I'd laugh, and I would think to myself, I wonder how many he actually has. Does he have three pair of pants and four shirts? Or does he literally only have two and he washes, you know, when he feels he needs to? But my husband is a little more expansive in his color palette, because he has the whole rainbow of color polo shirts, and he has two or three colors in the pants. But it's still polo. It's still those pants and that type shirt. Uh-huh. And he has literally done that since he was in engineering school. In the 70s.
But do you think, just in defense of the male species here, do you think that kind of like maybe, because perhaps even being a single woman, and I, you know, I'm a quite strong single woman, but I think perhaps on the seesaw of balance, do you think maybe it's just kind of safer, and they don't give a hoot about what they've got on, whereas we as women are probably a little more conscious of our colors and our fashion and our styles and things like that?
Well, it is. It's either not give a hoot or let everything roll off your back, or who cares who's looking at me. And therein lies why I think more women probably get coaches, because they'll feel like something to that effect. I know that I am much more aware than even many of my female friends about how I'm perceived.
I think,
and it holds me back at times. It holds yes. me back caring what other people think about me.
I think there is that huge risk when you're aware of what other people might be thinking. But then, yeah. Cindy, you know, you're in the coaching and the sort of like the self-help world. So, you know, you've learned on your journey that actually what people think about you really doesn't matter. So long as you've got your own sense of self-esteem and you're sort of living your purpose. What do you say to people that are living underneath that shadow of worrying what other people think about them?
Well, for me, one thing that helped me start monitoring myself, and that's what I would say, because I'm not sure that I haven't mastered it like it's never happened in the last 10 years. In fact, it happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. But the difference is I can bring myself out of it. Mm-hmm. So being aware, and the one key pivotal moment for me was in my early 30s when I literally hadn't had a date. And if you don't have a date, you usually haven't had sex. Mm-hmm. You know, so there I was, a virgin in my early 30s.
And I'm like,
yeah, I'm like, oh, geez, okay, it's like, oh, yay, I wasn't trying. But since it seems to be a thing that I could celebrate, I might as well celebrate that badge of honor. But I, you know, so I'm like, why? And what's keeping me away from it? And what I realized was I had seen enough examples of relationships that didn't look fun to me. Mm-hmm. They didn't look happy. They didn't, you know, they weren't thriving. I'd seen enough that I just had no problem avoiding them. Mm-hmm. So it was like a neon sign that said, I don't care. And I started realizing by having that neon sign on, you know, keep away, stay, whatever is flashing at the moment on my forehead. I was also by not risking pain, I had no opportunity to experience joy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I get to that next level? Well, I started realizing that caring what people thought about me, believing that I would never overcome the heartache of a failed relationship, you know, I started putting myself out there more. I started doing more transformational work. I remember going to a class that a lot of colleagues had gone to in the early 90s. It was probably, I'm trying to think back, but it had to be about 90, 91. And as I was leaving, they said, you look scared to death. You know, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to you? And I'm like, I don't know. Nobody will like me. And, you know, this and that. And they go, everybody likes you at work. Oh, but this is social. Mm. You know, this is me putting me out there. And what I did was that it was one of these things where several hundred people were there and they had like 1 hour to register everybody. So I got there. I knew I had to get there early because my friends and colleagues were on the registration volunteer team, right? So if I waited to the last minute, they'd be sitting there panicking. So I got there early and I just decided to look around and say hello to anybody that looked as scared as I felt inside. You know, it wasn't hard to find somebody who looked nervous and scared.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the whole 300. It was only, you know, it was maybe a dozen or so people, but I was just walking the room and saying hello to people and, you know, how are you and what's your name and what town do you work in? And, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the 5-day conference, you know, it was 3 evenings and all weekend. There were all these people that were, there was like an acknowledgement thing and they were all saying like, yeah, she was the one that came in here and didn't look like she needed this program. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
If you only knew, you know, if you only knew. So that taught me that being able to risk, even in simple ways, allowed me to start getting the myself, you know, the footing underneath me to be out there and start finding things I could be passionate about. And it was only maybe a year after that, not even a year after that, I was in a class and they had us do our top three goals for the 3 months. And one had to be about personal relationships. Mm-hmm. And I put down, get a date. And the mentors or whatever are looking at my goals and they're like, well, what does that mean? I said, well, I've never just been me, mm-hmm. not known someone, and had a man ask me out just because I was being me and they wanted to get to know me better. Mm. And sure enough, within 6 weeks of making that goal, it happened. I didn't know he was asking me out because I was on a luncheon to talk about this transformational work. Somebody called the office. My mentor answered the phone. They said, can anybody meet with me and my buddy? I've done the class. He hasn't, but I'm really bad at describing what it is. And she goes, sure, my friend Cindy and I will meet you for lunch. Where? So at the end of this, the guy who hadn't taken the class asked me for my phone number.
Wow.
And he said, are you going to be home tonight? And I said, yeah, I'll be home after about 7:30. I thought he was just going to talk about the class more.
Oh.
And so when he called, he said, you know, I said, well, did you have more questions? He goes, no, I really liked you, so would you have dinner with me sometime?
Oh, how lovely, Cindy.
And I like fell off of my sofa and said, I gotta go. I said, yes, I'll do it, but I gotta go. And I was so flustered, I hung up on him. And I called my mentor and I said, it happened. I can't believe it. I just got out on a date, you know, kind of thing. And I'm in my 30s. You know, I sound like an 18-year-old, but,
that's,
you know.
So lovely.
But it just, so putting that out there, if I hadn't risked, I wouldn't have felt that joy.
No, you would not. And I highly commend you for taking the steps to go for that transformational breakthrough in the first place. And just what a wonderful success story that came out of it as well. The fact that you got your date.
And of course, later, a few weeks later, I slept with him. And of course, then he ignored me. So, my first date. Yes, exactly. I got my first date, got my first sex, and got my first rejection. Yay. So, you know, all in one motion.
Put it down to practice, Cindy. It's kind of getting there ready for the right one.
Oh, later after the first marriage, I had plenty of practice before my second marriage. So I got pretty good at that practicing part. But
superb. So come on, listen, tell me, now all this has led to you in your current position now, and you are launching a book. So can you tell us more about that?
Sure. I, in my quest to always be, you know, the best of me, and to be, you know, I'm a Virgo and many other things, like an empath and intuitive, that always has me wanting to help people and share with people. And so in that process, I've just lost my train of thought for a second there, but about the book. So
yeah,
I was taking a course earlier this year to work on my coaching business, because I got certified as a coach a number of years. So I've been coaching women for 18 years. And I thought, you know, part of that, what will people think of you streak that runs through me. It's kind of like marbling on some blue cheese or something. It just, sometimes it's stronger than others. So I decided I needed a certification. So I got certification. Then my life kind of shifted and changed, and I never really made a career of it. Kept coaching people pro bono, but never made a career of it. And so I've been taking classes to help me be better at either myself and or helping other women. And this spring, I took a class to actually create a business out of my coaching. And in that class, I met another student whose business is to create anthology books, or that was the business she was there to expand. And so it was a brief little, happened to be there at the right time, at the right moment, to see a quick Facebook post by a woman named Dana Zircone, who has many talents and is a brilliant coach of her own right, but wanted to add to her repertoire being a publisher or producer of anthology books. And she said, I am doing this book called Your Shift Matters. Does anybody want to participate? And it was one of those things where you post something in somebody's group and they have some rule against it. And so it got deleted, like literally within minutes, because it was inappropriate, but I'd seen it. So I saw it. I reached out to her because on my bucket list for this year was to write a book. But it was kind of daunting because I thought, okay, once you write the book, how do you get it out to the world?
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of steps to it. And I don't know anybody who's ever done it before. So here she was. She, you know, I'm a law of attraction certified coach. And so there I was. I have a thought. And literally she appeared. Before The Secret came out, before I even knew what I was doing, just like the date. Remember the date?
I put it out there and it
happened.
Yeah.
So I have been manifesting things I wanted in my life forever without knowing what I was doing. So then I went and studied about it so I could teach others. Because how do we get better at what we want to do for ourselves? You start teaching it. So I knew that my coaching was going to be based on the law of attraction, the law of, there's 12 of them, and we'd take forever if I talked about them all. In some of your other shows, I've heard people talk about the universal laws. But there's the law of attraction is the one that is most commonly known about.
Well, so I got certified. We can get you back on for another interview to discuss the others in more detail if you want. No, I think it's absolutely fascinating. I'm a great believer in the law of attraction and intuition and empathic abilities. But don't let me divert you because you're talking about your book.
So the book is called Your Shift Matters. And the subtitle of it is Burnouts and Breakdowns to Breakthroughs. So all 25 of us have written a chapter. So I'm like, well, who said that I had to write the whole book, right? I put it out there that I was going to be a published author.
Yeah.
Is how I put it in my goals for 2017. So here today, the 27th of September, I will be, you know, I will be a published author, and my chapter is about a portion of the journey of the marriage to my current husband and how I overcame the challenge of him. I don't call it an affair because I call it a fling because it was a one-day event, but it was with a coworker. It was at an event I was supposed to be at, but other life situations kept me from attending that day. It just was a lot of things that created havoc in our marriage. And how the process I thought about and went through in order to overcome that challenge and have it be a breakthrough rather than a breakdown.
So, okay, right, Cindy, because there must be so many people listening to this that can identify with your story, and it's just, it's just so deep and emotional. Can you let us, can you sort of reveal to us a little bit how you managed to work through that? Because that is one major, major challenge.
Well, the biggest thing for me was, and it happened when I was in the middle of a major transformation, or in the beginning of a major transformation for myself. I was in my first 30 days of being sober.
Oh.
And I grew up knowing that alcoholism was in my family, and I had realized that I needed to do an intervention on myself, or I was going to become a disaster story because I was drinking too much and for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
You know, I was not a person that could open a good bottle of wine and stop before the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a white and my husband was always red. So it wasn't like I could share it with somebody, you know, if we were at home. And so all these reasons pointed to stop drinking and admitting my alcoholism. Mm-hmm. So 3 weeks later is when this event happened in my marriage. And so what I had to go through, Kate, was I leaned back on the process I went through to select my husband, to manifest my husband. And because the process to select him was solid, and this is one of the key things I love to coach with women, is their process of getting ready for their long-term committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm in my 50s, I have drawn to me much more the people that are, the women that are like me.
Yeah.
So either starting for the first time in their 30s, or second time, what I call second time arounders. Now it might be third or fourth, but you know, they're on their next one. And whether it's a marriage or just a committed relationship, it really doesn't matter. If you want to find the person you're going to live the rest of your life with, or the rest of your perceivable future with, 20 years, 10 years, whatever, you should probably do a process to figure out what you need, who you need, and so that you're not wasting time in your busy life dating anybody who will take you out.
Mm.
You know, you know what to do when you get the 25,000 winks on whatever dating app you've signed up for. You know how to narrow them down. And I'm not a dating app. You know, I met my husband online, and I probably dated over 100 men over a decade that I met online. But today's online is not 2002's online. So I'm not an expert in dating apps, but I know they occur. So I get women ready to start that process so that they feel more successful. So I leaned back on the process I went through. I helped create a course back in 2000 for a women's group I was in. I had hired a coach in the late 90s because I was divorced in like 95. So about 98, 99, I joined this women's group. I decided to start putting myself out there more. Because I knew I wanted to be in a partnership. I didn't want to be alone.
Yeah. Well, so, I think, you know,
so when
it's great sort of support system for not just you, but also the person whose life you become involved with.
Exactly. Exactly. And back to our story of the khakis and the polo shirts.
Yeah.
You know, men, when we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, looking for a partner who is a man, they're pretty much them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of effort to try and fake who you are unless that's your intention. You know, you hear the stories of the catfish and all that. Those guys have the intention to deceive. Real men that are looking for a relationship, they're out there. They're there. But we need to know who we are. And what we need, because they do reveal themselves.
Well, I think everybody reveals themselves ultimately. You know, it's easy to put on that nice facade for a short while, but then I think that's why so many marriages fail too. or relationships fail because people really aren't authentically who they are when they start dating. And you know, like you said, you were your authentic self. And okay, you've had a major blip on the horizon, which you seem to have worked through and overcome that. And thank goodness you had your coaching and mentors in the background to give you that stability in order to know which direction you needed to take it. And But I think a lot of people go into a relationship without even knowing or what they have no idea of what they want or expect from life or what they want from a partner, and which is why so many of them fail.
Exactly. And, you know, there's books out there that you can read, and there are tons of books out there, how to date and stuff like that. But there's very few that really help you examine who you are and what you need. And so yeah. I helped design a process, you know, a couple single gals, a couple married gals, one gal who said, why in hell would I ever want to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, be stuck with one person for the rest of my life kind of thing. And we sat down over a 6-month period and we laid out a 6-month weekly program. And, you know, there's breaks in there. So it worked out to be about 12 or 13 modules, something mm-hmm. like that. And I've, this year at the beginning of the year, I refreshed that, and I had done it for an organization and they didn't want to refresh it. So I said, okay, I'll go out on my own. And I took elements of what worked for me, and just kind of brought them into the modern times. And so I've been working on a course specifically for that element. But the underlying theme of my coaching really is getting ready to be ready. Because, mm-hmm. you know, if you have a big dream, like the book, I had a dream to write a book and put myself out there, because it's still very difficult for me to put myself out there. And so I like to do things that will draw others into me. It's much easier to have somebody go, ooh, I want to work with you, than to put myself out there and, you know, say, come work with me. I can help you. So I want to put myself out there in a book form. And so I took the baby step of being part of this anthology and sharing one story. And the book is not just my story. It's 25 different inspirational stories like that, where people took a moment of their life that could have been, you know, they were in a breakdown, a burnout type of place, a valley in their life. And how they started climbing that mountain again and using it to their advantage.
While you were writing your chapter in this book, did you learn anything new about yourself while you were writing it? You know, did something reveal itself to you, or how, you know, what was the process like for you?
Well, you know, there was quite a few tears of remembering and, how I felt and how painful it was in the moment. Mm-hmm. How just like I think at least for me and some of the women I've met that have worked through and stopped using a substance of some sort, something outside themselves to numb. Mm-hmm. You know, it was painful remembering how numbing it was. It was painful remembering how much energy it took to just be around him. I luckily had the advantage, and it didn't always feel like an advantage, but in this case it was. My husband worked in another state and was gone 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. Only home 3 days. And so I had a lot of time to myself to work through it. And we sought a coach in the form of marriage, a psychologist that worked with couples.
Yeah.
And it only took us a few sessions to get to a place and get the tools we needed to work through that. But it really was understanding that deep down inside, he made a mistake.
Yes.
And looking at things like asking myself, okay, if this was just a friend in my life who had made a big mistake in our friendship, mm-hmm. would I be forgiving them? Would I be working through it? And the answer was yes. This person, this man, had been my husband for 10 years. And I had done the work ahead of time to know who I needed and dated quite a few men before I found Gary. And we had had some good times. We'd had some challenges. But if I, you know, kicked him like the television show that talk about, oh, kick him to the curb. Oh, you know, he's not good for you if he's going to cheat and, you know, all this stuff. Like all of those things, it didn't feel right to me to do that. Because that would mean I was tossing out my work also. Now, if jointly we came to the decision that for whatever reason, it was that we had grown apart, that he took this action and that we didn't need to be together, fine. But it wasn't going to be just a blanket, you betrayed me, you're out the door.
Well, I think that's the beauty of going to a psychologist or you know, a coach that can help with marital problems is the fact that you lay these things on the table and you explore the various options, and it is very vulnerable and it is very raw. But ultimately, if there's a marriage there to save, it gives you that opportunity to both talk honestly and openly, but to have the opportunity to mend those gaps as well. And I commend you. I really do.
Well, and there was two options, either mend the gaps. Well, there was many options, but the two that worked for me were mend the gaps or end the relationship at a high point, at a good place where it was a choice, not an action based on emotions.
Yes.
You know, our emotions can get us a lot of things, and some of those things aren't good.
No, you know. No. If you're coming from a point of emotion, it's very unlikely you're going to be thinking strategically.
yeah, and clearly. And I know a lot of the work that you do with women is figuring out, you know, whether or not it's the right time to make a major shift like that in their life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, back to the coaching that I do and helping women get ready, often I run across women who didn't do the work on the way out of the last marriage. And if you don't know why the first one didn't work, often you have to start at that place. You do have to examine the past some and your behaviors, your patterns, your actions. And so I started this chapter. We threw out the title, but I was actually going to call my chapter "How I Manifested a Husband That Would Cheat on Me."
that got thrown out,
but into another one. I think that actually I've kind of forgotten because we went through so many gyrations. I think it's something about baggage. I think my chapter is baggage. I don't need no stinking baggage. And so, you know, it's like, so when it occurred, I wasn't going to retreat all the way back to where I was before I started doing the work.
No.
You know, I'd gotten rid of a lot of baggage before I met my husband and during my marriage. And so why take all that baggage back? You know, just pretend it's been shredded and move forward, you know.
Well, you lose the empowerment of yourself if you allow somebody to have that amount of control over your life as well. And I'm sure, you know, you've done so much work on yourself that you're in such a strong position to know what is the right choice for you.
And that's a caveat of, or a tenet of my coaching business is, if someone is attracted to me, then I'll work with them. But if it's like when I said getting ready to be ready, so I watched some of your workout videos, Kate, and I'm like, I'm not ready to do that by any stretch of the imagination. But often when we have a big goal, like getting fit, like losing 100 pounds, like finding a mate, there's things in our brain that we say, oh, I've got to fix that before I can have the other thing.
Yeah.
So part of what I work with women also, and I've just joined forces with a coach from the Netherlands, and we're doing some joint programs together because she's an energy healer. So she brings to the partnership the ability to help the women that have to get through some deep traumas, maybe sexual abuse or physical abuse or child, you know, children that or women that were abused as children.
Yes.
I don't have that background. And as an empath, I take on all that emotion. I'm just learning. That's my biggest journey for 2017. And the coaches that I've hired this year is helping me be able to be empowered as a coach with those, that talent or that ability to be intuitive and feel what other people feel without having it harm me, without having it drain me.
Yes.
And so, so I'm more of a, I can talk women through the logistical steps and I can help them peel back the onion layers. I'm really great at that. So I'm the logistics part and she's the energy part. So she'll help you clear through the blocks. So one of the things we're working on is a money program, you know, helping women start their money flowing again. Because a lot of times when women have left marriages, they're having to start over and they don't want to attract a man from where they're at. So they don't want to attract a man that has no money if they feel like they have no money. So before they're willing to go out there and date, they want to tackle their money thing. So one of the talents I have as a coach actually is helping you, is more of a generalist coach. And then if their goal is to be fit or work through the stages of a divorce or handle this or that, I'm a very much a connector. So I'm not going to pretend that I know the specifics when they get to the place. I'm going to help them get to where they're comfortable starting, know where they want to start, and then we'll help find them the right coach.
Yeah. No, I think money for women is a huge problem, particularly if they're coming out of a marriage. It's often, I don't want to say it's always the same because it's not. And I think as time goes on, there are more and more women who are the breadwinners. But I think, you know, traditionally it's the man who tends to have the better finance or the more secure financial position. And the woman that if they've had children has stayed at home to look after the children. I think when the marriage breaks down, it's a very frightening time because, you know, you have got to be able to pay your bills. And I think what you're offering women is a grain of hope that they can actually take that control. What's the course called, Cindy, the financial course that you offer?
The financial one is really just Start My Money Flowing. And that,
okay.
And that's the domain name also, Start My Money Flowing.
Okay.
So it helps, like I say, it's really a jump start. It's either to get to your next level, like you've been plateaued at a certain place and you know you want more money. Or a lot of our clients are women that are maybe in that mixed generation, and they're realizing that whether or not they have a husband or not, just the family income, they need more of it. When you reach a multi-generational family and you've got the kids still, or the kids are in college and then your parents are coming back home.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I've been doing. That's why I didn't actually launch my paid coaching career back when I got my certification, because the last 5 or 6 years I've been focused on elder care. So, it occurred that I had to shift gears right as I was getting certified. So I just didn't have the personal bandwidth to do everything. So I kept my talents up by giving it away, because I had volunteer ways to do it.
Yeah.
And that made me feel good. And now I'm at the place where my husband's retiring. And so that means we want more income. It was always designed that my coaching career would replace his income.
Yeah.
I'm just a little behind the curve because I liked giving it away. I was a little scared to make money and ask for money. And so that's my personal journey. So I think as coaches, sometimes we're only a few weeks ahead. One of my coaches is about the empath stuff said just this week, he said, you know, I'm only sometimes a few days ahead of you.
Yeah, well, I do.
You know,
I think
it's like I'm going through what you're going through. You know, and so it's helped me blow out of the water that feeling like I had to be such a big expert, which doing the certification, doing the book is like I had to be an expert. Well, no, I don't, because I'm an evolved being also.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's all about the journey. And Joe, you know, the song that you've chosen, one of the lines or two of the lines is "My finest day is yet unknown." And I think this is probably a really good link to play your song, which is Houston's "One Moment in Time," and then we'll come back to the interview.
Sounds great.
Each day I live, I want to be a day to give the best of me. I'm only one, but not alone. My finest day is yet unknown. I broke my heart for every gain, the sweet, I face the pain, I rise and fall, yet through it all, this much remains.
When all of my dreams are a heartbeat.
Moment in Time was written by Albert Hammond and John Bettis, and the song was Houston's third number one in the UK singles chart and reached number five on the US Billboard Hot 100. So as well as it being an absolutely beautiful song, Cindy, what made you choose this one in particular?
Well, it always kind of brings me to tears. Because it has me reflect, kind of like if you go up to YouTube, the first link usually is a montage of those Olympic Games. And so I don't know about you, but every time I watch something like the Olympics or an award show or even something like UK's Got Talent or America's Got Talent or whatever, you're watching, it always brings me to joy tears watching somebody achieve something that they've set out on. And so how the song came into my life, beyond probably because I'm old enough to remember watching the 88 Olympics, beyond just refreshing that kind of thought, it was a song chosen for me in an advanced transformational training class, where at the end of a 5-day session, the mentors, trainers had chosen a song for each of us. And the thing for me is it also really talks, it talks so much about being there for others, a day to give. I want to be a day to give the best of me. And I'm always looking to be the best of me so that I can share it with others. I can help others achieve their goals. You know, some of us in life are the ones that are going to make $1 billion, and some of us are the ones that are the support team. They can never do it alone. And I've always been more kind of on the fringe of the $1 billion maker, but more on the support team. Yeah. And so there's a lot of moments in time, and just back to that beginning of the talk today, when we were talking about my life didn't look the way that a lot of the other girls I grew up with did. And, you know, that had the picket fence and the dog and the 2.3 kids. And
yeah, but you're a nomad, Cindy. That's and, cool.
Yeah. And so, so being able to, this song always reminds me, man, I've had a lot of times that I could say, wow, that was a shining moment in my life. But I'm not done yet. Just, you know, the days where I'm sad, it lifts me up to remember that I have more to come. And also reminds me that what I put my mind to, I can achieve. So it's all in, you know, it's a full circle around to the law of attraction and realizing that I've been a powerful manifester and helping others understand that they can be that too.
My goodness, yes, you have.
Just helping people dream, that's one of the things I love to do. A lot of women, because they've been so busy, raising the kids, doing this, doing that, they don't have the ability to dream any, or never felt like they did have it. So part of my coaching is helping women just go through that process of being able to dream and put it out there and realize they can manifest what they want.
Absolutely.
I don't tell them how to. I'm not a business coach that says, okay, open up an LLC, do a website, do Facebook ads. I help them find their own journey. I walk them through their own path, what their finest moment is going to be on that. And to realize that you don't have to have just one dream. You put out you do the vision board. On my vision board, in a journal, in a written kind of vision board, things I want to accomplish, I think it was about 2006, I wrote down, literally, monetize my coaching by the fall of 2009. And in the summer of 2009, I kept getting these messages from this particular coach, and I liked her style. I could hear her. I could understand her. And she had a coaching. She trained coaches. She certified coaches as law of attraction coaches. Mm-hmm. And I signed up. And then I found that journal 2 months after I signed up that said, monetize my coaching career by fall of 2009.
Wow, that works.
So, I mean, it was like the last thing on my list. But I wrote it down. I had a specific time frame. Then I let it go. I just let it go. Mm. But it happened. You know, that's the thing that people have a hard time understanding, that you can put it out there and let it go.
Well, you're proof in the pudding. And our time on this interview is coming up. But just we've got about a couple of minutes left. What advice would your 80-year-old self give your current self now?
The biggest one that comes to mind and instantly is, don't worry about what other people think. Your path is your path, and you're going to be successful.
I love it. That is absolutely fantastic. And remind people, Cindy, how can everybody find you? How do we connect with you best?
You know, a starting point is either on Facebook at Coach Cindy Sanders. Mm-hmm. If you type that in the Facebook search, or just go to my website, cindysanders.com. It's not a huge, robust one, but it will tell you a little more about me and how to reach me. And I'll try and keep it current. And you can have a link there today. If you go to cindysanders.com, you can have a link. And the cool thing about this book today, that they can go to Amazon and purchase, actually, it's better to go to my website and click on that link, Kate, or the link that you will have on your website for your Shift Matters, because so many of us, I think almost 20 of us, if you buy the book through the link, you can put in your receipt number, and then you get linked to a whole bunch of freebies.
Oh, okay.
The 25 people that have written the book, about 18 or 20 of us had time to produce something, and mine is a journal, a journal with quotes, and then you can keep it. It's blank pages, because I'm not a big journaler, but sometimes I'm a big doodler, mm-hmm. or sometimes I'll find a quote, and so it's something that you can just kind of paste in and do something to kind of jumpstart those dreams and be appreciative of the life you have, so you can make a better life from it.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. So not only the book to get, if we get it off your website, and I will put all the links from today's episode in the show notes. But yeah, make sure you go to Cindy's website, and it's Cindy with a Y. So
C-Y-N-D-I.
So, but I'll make sure all that's clear on the show notes. And then, yeah, if you're interested in buying the book, which I highly recommend because it sounds fantastic, go to cindysanders.com. So, yes, all links to me and Cindy and this interview will be posted on the Flourish Therapy Facebook page and the Coach on Fire community page. Also on my radio show page, which you can find on flourishtherapy.co.uk. Cindy, thank you so much for talking and to us today.
Kate, can I throw one more thing in there?
Yeah,
I happen to have just finished with a couple of clients, and I have space. So if somebody's really interested in setting up a booster session with me for 3 months or 2 months or something to jumpstart to their next dream, yeah. They can write me at Cindy, C-Y-N-D-I, at bestlifedreams.com.
Okay, Cindy at bestlifedreams.com.
And yeah. We'll make it work. We'll set it up. All my programs are customized. for my individual coaching. So,
well, I think your programs sound as though they're going to do so much good for people. And I really do appreciate your candid and honest and at times very vulnerable interview today. And oh, I wish you the best of luck with everything and your book launch. That's so exciting. And
thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. This was episode 18 of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show with me, Kate Hartley, and the very special Cindy Robinson-Sanders, who was my inspiring guest. And you can find out more about Cindy at cindysanders.com. And until next time, goodbye from us both.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.